gentlemen, my friends. I hope so that you are my friends. I just was shopping for my family, my wife and myself, and my son that's staying with me. And lo and behold, I hear, "Hello, Roy." And it was a man of 70. He said, "I've been listening to you since 10 years old, 60 years. And he said, "It did all good for me. I was very broken when I was a little kid." And we had a nice talk, and off we went. I do hope that the program that I'm about to produce from scratch, as I do it every day, will be just like that conversation. You turn the dial and hear my voice. And there's something in it, I think, that is different from other people in that I prepare nothing. I have in front of me, to be honest, the foreword in my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. That was the name of the book from the very beginning when I started on radio, 1960. So it's been 55 years since then. And I changed the name of that book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. And I changed it to How Your Mind Can Make You Well, but then that's not true. So I changed it again. When I see it's not true, your mind can't make you well. It can keep you well. So I put it back to that. And then I moved and things happened, and I thought, well, I'll change it to be still and know. And it was good. And it was a better heading because it's more spiritual. Then I changed it to cure stress. So if you look in the bookstores, in the secondhand bookstores, you'll see these different titles. It's the same book. I'm always looking for titles. Titles are very important. But I have come to consider that be still and know is perfect, because that's exactly what it's supposed to do. And it does. And I've reduced that meditation exercise over the period of 55 years, so it was 2 years ago I changed it. Well, I didn't change it, it's still there. Whenever you purchase a CD or a cure stress device, which is a little computer that you put in your wallet, and it works like a computer, and you can listen to the meditation, which is Be Still and Know. And it has a lot of good stuff on it. It has 2 hours of information if you want to use all that. But really, you only need 7 minutes to work with, and you may not need it any more than that, because something magic happens when you use this. About 50% of the people who use Be Still and Know, see, become completely different people. I mean, not different bad, different from bad to good, or from confused to clarity. And I'm going to read something to you about this book, which is the dialogue of the meditation exercise, which then follows. If you go to my website, you'll see, you know, Be Still and Know, and variations of what you want. But I would recommend just spend, like, I think it's about $10, you get the whole geschmear, excuse the expression. You get everything you need, you can download it. Or you can get it on a CD. Or you can get it on that little device that is like a little computer that fits in your wallet, which is very delightful, very small, and it delivers everything I have that you need. Beginning with a simple, very, very simple exercise. And that is so simple that it's hard to believe that it can produce the magic that you are looking for all your life. And so it's a 7-minute meditation. It begins with that. And that, it has about 2 hours of material on it. Discussions and things like that. And, but the great value is to make less words mean more. And pretty soon to translate the spoken word to the unspoken words. The fact that you can recognize what it's saying. And it, hold the line, don't go away.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, hello again. I was talking about the book, and it used to be called How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. It sold millions. It did, but things began to change, so I try to find a better word for it, a better title. But it got worse instead of getting better. So I've got three titles: How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, Be Still and Know, and then Cure Stress. It does cure stress, but it's so much more beautiful if we use the words, the title, which I'm going to change this. I'm going to take it down from the web just for a little bit, and we're going to change it to, well, one of these two. I'd like you to give me your opinion, especially if you've been using this meditation and the book. It's How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. It also can make you well. But that was the original one, and that's where I sold millions and millions of copies. Okay. And so then it became Be Still and Know. I like that. I like that because it's more spiritual. But then I changed it, so fickle I am, to Cure Stress, and that's what you'll see. Same book, but with extra chapters, four extra chapters, which are very, very interesting. However, so having said that, that book was published in 1960. I finished writing it in 1959. And it's the first book, and I still love that book. I've been sort of playing through the pages, and I think, why am I not promoting this book? A lot of you would like to, well, it's more, you know, meditation, it can be a sort of a dangerous thing because you don't know what you're listening to, whether it will mesmerize you or not, because I know that meditations can become hypnotic. Having been a real expert in hypnosis, I went in that direction because I thought, you know, how did Hitler do all this? When I was very young, I had to ask that question. And look what he did. Could we not make him do better things rather than make murderers and killers? Well, it's turned out, to cut a long story short, that the hypnosis that I became acquainted with, and very few people understand it, because the results are so mechanical and so quick and so easy. And you can tell people to feel better and they will, but it's a lie. That's what I discovered. I discovered hypnosis is what your problem is. And the book talks about that, believe it or not. But it took a long time for me to, you know, get it straight, because I spent 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, in the Institute of Hypnosis, where I was able to understand and experience the effects it has on people. And it does, in the beginning, when you use hypnosis to cure people from smoking and whatever, they will always get better, nearly always get better if it takes. But then they get worse. And then they become dependent on the hypnotist. And then if hypnotist happened to be Hitler, that works. Because that's what it is. Actually, to put it rather straightforward, I didn't know this at the time, but I was playing the role of God. And then one day, a long story short, let me just go back a little bit. I was beginning without realizing that my interest in hypnosis and calling my business the Institute of Hypnosis, see, I began to see I began to realize it's more than seeing. And then I see it, but then first of all, you have to realize it's like an intuitive thing. Something's not quite right. And slowly but surely, without me understanding, without knowing what was going on, the forces were working in me without me knowing. So before I knew it, I was teaching a meditation that countered all stress. But it wasn't hypnotic. It was counter-hypnotic. In other words, all your troubles in your life, I can tell you very straightforwardly. I've been around a long time. I'm 88 years old. I'm not a newcomer to this. I've thoroughly understood this. Thoroughly. And I mean thoroughly. But the thoroughness of it wasn't my cleverness. It wasn't something I was learning better to do more and more. No, it was just the opposite. I began to talk to people and sit them down in the chair and thinking that I was practicing hypnosis because I only met one hypnotist in my life. It was very brief. I never met any. Except one time, that's another story. But let's say hardly ever. That'd be more accurate. Just a moment where I gave him a copy of my meditation exercise on a record. And interesting things, because what was on the record, I went to a seminar for hypnosis with all the hypnotists. And I was able to talk to one person who took my record and said, "Why don't you try it?" So he did. And he came back with a strange look on his face. He says, "What did you do?" He says, I used to be into women, and the last couple of days, I see what I'm doing to them, that's not right." It was so stunning to me that suddenly he'd become virtuous from being otherwise. And so then there was another time when, over the years, when a Christian lady came in, and she had problems because Christian people still have problems because they're not Christian enough. And of course, the Christianity was sort of catching to me. It's was sort of infectious in a matter of way because there's something beautiful, so much beauty in it. And I begin to, after this little conversation I'm going to share, because this lady had a serious problem. But what was coming through me was changing every day. And so I still thought it was hypnosis, but it wasn't. It was counter-hypnosis. So what's the difference? That's the question. Well, hypnosis is controlled by a human agency. And so you become suggestible to anything that person will impose upon you anything. If you want to get a copy, get a glance at what I'm saying, you need to go to Roy Masters Hypnosis Demonstration. See, there I'm well ahead of the old way, meaning hypnotizing people and giving them the illusions that they're getting better. Yes, then they can stop smoking, but then they start eating. See, or yes, or they stop being fat, but then they become promiscuous. And you created one thing worse than the other. You made it worse. It's better to be fat than be promiscuous. You see, because you can see when you're skinny, you're more attractive. And that can produce those effects. I'm just trying to scratch my head to see if I can remember some of those things back there when I was learning and discovering. But I woke up one morning and this lady came in and things had been going different, meaning I was really helping people. But then when I look back on what hypnosis is and compare the two, I saw the difference between how I was talking to those people. I was talking to them in a way that brought them back to their creator. You know what I mean by that? I mean that, look, let me see if I can put it this way. Do you have intuition, or have you lost it completely? If you've lost it, you have anxiety. If you have anxiety, you're panic. And when you panic, you tend to, if you have a strong personality, strong in a wrong way, you will strive harder to be a better person and be successful for it and be rewarded for your cleverness and successfulness. But the point is, you're not getting any better. The more you get, the more you need, because it's only an effect of successfulness. The money will come quickly. You become successful, and you get a sense of worth. Wow, that's the way. So you become more wealthy. Everything goes good for a little while, but then you stop for a moment and look at your the money you have. I was looking for another word for it, and you feel anxiety, but you enjoyed the moment where you were successful, but it wears away very quickly, and immediately the hunger, some kind of hunger, seems to be not satisfied. So there's two hungers. The hunger that is dangerous is when you set a goal, having been deceived by the hypnotic idea that you can make yourself happy and successful without God, that you have to fix yourself and you have to make it happen. And it's not true. Because if you set a goal and you succeed and you set that goal, it becomes your purpose in life rather than the purpose of God's purpose for you. There is a God here. See, and this is where I was beginning to understand myself, because one morning I woke up and said, that's who you are. See, and so that's who you are concept made me realize. Well, I realized it because the lady made the point. She said, the way you spoke to me is different from any other person I've been to. My husband said, what came over you? You're a different person. She was calm, collected, not angry anymore, and her sicknesses began to disappear. And she came back and she says, you know what you said? You said something about in the Bible, and I never read the Bible. I would just look through it, the New Testament especially. And she says, go to this, I don't remember the passage, but it was exactly what I told her. But it's not just me exactly telling her that, just words. Let me jump around a little bit. I was walking with a Monsignor from Rome. I can't tell you all about the reason why I was. Don't go away, just we'll come back to the Monsignor. 866-88-83. We'll be right back. I was talking to you about the Monsignor that came from Rome, and we took fancy to each other. And then I said, well, how is it that, you know, your preachers don't get to do much in the healing process? He says, very simply, he said, it's who says it. It's not the words. It's who says it. It's the words too, but it's a who. In other words, there's got to be authority behind your words. And if you are an ordinary preacher, you don't have the authority, only the authority people give you, but not the one that God gives you. And so it seems to me that God had given me something, and I experienced this lady who was a Christian, and she says, it's in the Bible. But again, I'm bringing back the point. Having researched it more and having met the Monsignor from Rome, he says, who says it? That's a big difference, because who is an authority of God? And therefore healing is involved. It's easier to believe without being deceived in that believing. So you've got to be very careful. I didn't mean to say this today, but you've got to be careful of preachers, rabbis, every kind of preacher, because the tendency is to make you his flock, not God's flock, his flock. So you go to church every week, and he will give you a little bit and make you feel better, but that's hypnosis. That's hypnotic when you're involved in a person. Hypnotism is the power of a person over other people who are looking for answers, looking for a sense of worth. So if I am a nice, handsome fellow and glib with my language, you can actually be infected by who I am. That is not good. So you have all these churches, and look all over the world, and you've got preachers everywhere, and you've got nice Christian people, but they do not know what Christianity is. You've got hundreds and thousands of different forms of Christianity. But it's all coming from a person who is not connected to God, but has become stood in God's stead, in the place of Jesus, unholy, in the holy words he's speaking. What's making me say this today? Can't you tell what I'm saying, that I never meant to start to talk to you this way on this program? I had a few things prepared, just in case my lips stop working. But don't you see I'm talking to you from my heart? You've got to be very careful of authorities. And the sound of your voice plus the truth that a person speaks or I speak, if it's from God, it's not rehearsed. I don't know what I'm going to say next. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I know when I've got to have some little thing to start the program with. But it never ends up the way I think it will be. It's just a backup. But I never really needed the backup. So after a while, I don't have a backup. I have to admit, I just have something on my screen, but it's something I can read to you, and I will tell you that I'm reading it to you because it's the opening of the book and the spirit behind the book that caused me to write this first book. This first book is very important And I gave three names for this book, for how to meditate. And you can read it. Or you can go to my website and get a copy of me reading it for you. So just, but if you go to the website, fhu.com, one of the first things you will see is Cure Stress is one, that's one thing. That's the title of the book. I did the wrong title for the book. But it is a seven-minute meditation that has zero religious words in it. Now you say to yourself, well, what about those religious words? First of all, you'll recognize my voice where I'm coming from. That's important. Then I could tell you, let me stop here for a minute. The way I learned what I'm about to tell you again is it was in the very beginning. And my mind is going back to that point where a man first came in, and it was the beginning of my hypnosis experience. But immediately I had a piece of the meditation, and knowing that this man had a chip on his shoulder because he's been a drunk for 25 years. I sat him down. It was a challenge. And you can see that. I'm supposed to be in the hypnosis business. But this, you know, I'm not going to do that to this man. Something wouldn't let me. I said, sit down. And sit down and close your eyes. And then he says, okay, now what else do I do? I said, look at your eyelids. He says, which for? I said, do as I ask you. You're here. But this is the first experience. I had to wait several years to see the whole thing. And that's what you're finding in when you go to my website, 7-minute meditation. There's no religious words. But look at this. Look how quickly this happened. I said, close your eyes. I had to. It was so remarkable. I wasn't ready for it that time. But years went by, and slowly but surely, what I thought was automatically being changed every day to the way I speak now. So I was no longer a hypnotist. I was a healer. So see that. And so this is what I'm trying to say to you now. And so let me finish the story then. So he's an alcoholic. He can't get rid of it. He's tried everything. And this is what I did. Close your eyes. Okay, look at your eyelids. What do you mean, look at your eyelids? I said, well, look at your eyelids. I said, can you see the little pixels? Yes. Well, that's all I want you to do. I don't want you to fall asleep, if you don't mind. And now I want you to be aware of your fingertips, your hand. Just be aware of your first finger, second finger, and your third finger, and it starts to tingle, just because you're aware of it. So are you doing that? He says, yes. So when I finished going, after 5 or 6 minutes doing that, I don't know what made me do it. I guess I do. It's a funny way of saying it. I don't. Of course I do. It was the beginning of my sojourn. The way I do things now and how I can help people in the most difficult conditions. But here it is. And I said, he says, now what else? I said, now you go home and just do that. What made me say that? I don't know. I guess I do. He comes back a couple days later. He says, what did you do to me? I said, I didn't do anything. He said, I stopped smoking and drinking. Whoa, hold a second. Give me a call, 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Okay, here I am back again. If you'd like to call me on the air, it's 800-866-8883, and it's weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 6 a.m., 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can call that number, 800-866-8883. Now, back to that story. Another person came in. He'd been to a hypnotist, a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist hypnotized him. And he had terrible headaches, splitting headaches. And so he hypnotized him. He did. He succeeded. But the hypnotist, well, I don't want to do this. It's too much for you if I try to tell you. But when you hypnotize a person, you own that person. When you get upset, you become mesmerized. You didn't know that if somebody can upset you, they own you. And you may feel guilty for being angry with them, and therefore that guilt will drive you to please them. And damned if you please them, and damned if you don't. It keeps repeating itself. That is hypnosis. See? And if pleasure does the same thing, the more pleasure you have, you feel better, but you get actually getting worse. So you're depending upon your salvation on the next for the next pleasure. That's called addiction. You could be addicted to people, places, and things. So you see where I'm going with this idea. This concept. The hypnosis is to be subject to the spoken word, the authority of the spoken word. But that displaces the intuitive way of speaking and moving and having your being. One is stress related, and that stress relationship binds you in servitude to that person where you may not realize that you are in servitude. And the more you obey that person, the less you can say no to them. How many people of you listening to me right now and say have difficulty saying no to somebody? It becomes so widespread that it's not just the hypnotist that can make you do what it wants to do. It could be anybody who is a little stronger than yourself. You can't say no to anybody. So everybody becomes a hypnotist to you to some degree, and you have a nervous breakdown. That's what a nervous breakdown is. And everything else, see. So eventually, to cut a long story short, even though the book and everything in my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, or the proper name for it is To Be Still and Know, and it's still To Be Still and Know, you get on my website, fhu.com. And the name of the book is now presently known as Cure Stress. You will love that book. Nothing's changed in it except a few extra chapters at the back. Four extra chapters about cancer, a little bit. As much as I can tell you at that point. So you need to go to my website and look for Cure Stress. It is really Be Still and Know. Now, in the beginning of this book, there's a chaplain, a Christian chaplain.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, let me just come back to my subject matter. In the beginning of the book, there was, you know, a little bit of kindness in terms of starting the book up. And it used to be a movie star. And then I got involved with helping the soldiers overcome post-traumatic stress disorder. And I gave hundreds of thousands of those out to soldiers. They're still going around. And it's reduced the number from 24 murders a day, I mean suicides a day, to 22, but I haven't got enough money to keep it going. because we need millions and millions and millions of them. So anyway, but during the period of time where I was working with the military, it's sort of as an outsider, I got in contact with generals and chaplains. And this one was the chief chaplain of the military. And he was so delighted with it, he gave me a foreword in the book. Let me read it to you. I'm always looking for morality and psychological sound materials that a chaplain can use to boost a unit's morale and enhance a soldier's resilience. Your meditation is an effective and practical tool that enhances stress management and builds resilience within the mind and emotion of the warrior. I am especially thankful for the Be Still and Know exercise. It is good self-awareness exercise comparable to the concept of mindfulness used within the field of empirically researched psychology. I have integrated the exercise to my own personal life as a Christian chaplain. It assists me in my effectiveness in what I call listening prayer. My foundational written statement for listening prayer is found in Psalms 46:10. Be still and know I am God. That's what makes me change my mind with this book. I need to change that back to that. The essence of this spiritual discipline calms my soul, improves my emotional regulation, and enhances my critical thinking skills. I read a small but powerful book by Charles Swindoll, Intimacy with the Almighty, that's the title of the book, several years ago. This book helped transform my life as a war veteran chaplain. The book clarified that if I was to be resilient in this difficult world, I must practice four spiritual disciplines of simplicity, silence, solitude, and surrender. The Be Still and Know exercise helped me practice these four disciplines on a consistent basis. My everyday is filled with phone calls, emails, visits, and deadlines. It seems to me the BlackBerry and the computer tend to escalate stress signals in my brain as I suffer an overload of information and tasks to be completed each day. Charles Swindoll said it best, everything around us works against reordering and simplifying our lives. Everything. Ours is a complicated and cluttered world. The Be Still and Know exercise used as a listening prayer decreases the clutter in my mind and helps me to be a more effective creative in my thought process. The practice of silence and solitude is the very core of the Be Still and Know exercise. Learning to be still is one of the most needed yet most difficult spiritual disciplines today. I remember my struggle when I first became intentional about practicing being still. I was just like the noted Roman Catholic priest Henry Nouwen stated, time in solitude may first seem a little bit more than time in which we are bombarded with thousands of thoughts and feelings that emerge from hidden areas of our mind. It can feel like a multitude of confusing thoughts just jumping around in the mind like monkeys in a banana tree. Indeed, this was my experience early on. However, I've observed as I continue the practice of silence and solitude, my mind became more rested. It also seems resilient in thinking straight under pressure and improved. Last of all, there's the issue of surrender. It is an issue I know I want my day to go versus how my day actually does go. A few years ago, while practicing the essence of Be Still and Know, I came to a powerful awareness of what my core daily struggle is. I want my day to go my way. I'm finally learning to let go of those things I cannot control or change. I'm finally learning that surrendering my days and future to God, not as I would have it, is the most responsible act of obedience I can do. This transformative attitude is a lighter burden for me to carry. It certainly decreases my frustrations and distress levels. I need simplicity, silence, solitude, and surrender in my life to be an effective, resilient military captain in today's complex world. I thank you for introducing me to Be Still and Know CD. That's when it was a CD still. It's a helpful tool and can help many other military personnel to become resilient leaders. We all need to be in the rapidly changing environment in which we live. Chaplain LTC Philip L. Pringle, U.S. Army, Southern Baptist. Can you believe that? All right. Did you get that? That is the end. That is not the end. That is several years ago. If you go to my website, or you can choose to go to a website that dedicates this meditation, not Be Still and Know, but it is effective in a short amount of time. But there's apparently no spiritual words in it. It's close your eyes, as I mentioned to the first person who came in and said, well, you know, all you're going to let me do is make my fingers tingle. I said, yes, that's all I want you to do. And there's a reason. If you want to call me and say, well, why does that work? I could tell you. See, so it was a beginning. And so my thoughts in my mind I want to share with you disappeared right now. But you understand here that if you go to my website, that's where I was going, you have a lot of clutter, but lots of things there. But if you want to bring a friend, I have a special website. And the website is the 7-day meditation. It's antidote, the address is antidoteforall.com. Antidote with an I. Antidote, this is an antidote. An antidote for all.com. That's all. And what you get is a background, a very faint background of a person, you know, in despair. And then you have a little circle and a little arrow. And you put your earphones on and click the button and just do as it's told. The first thing you do is ask you to close your eyes and look at your eyelids. And what do you see? And after you do that, I do a little exercise, extend the awareness to your body in this way. Be aware of your first finger, second finger of your right hand. And as you give attention to the finger of your right hand, it will tingle. And just say yes to yourself if it happens. And now the second finger and the third. That's all. It's not difficult. It is magical. I can explain it. Yes, I understand it now, but I understood it because I was open to it. My whole experience, my sojourn in the Institute of Hypnosis was everything I needed. I slowly transformed from an entertainer. For a person who, in the military, I could make them shine my shoes, my boots, clean my rifle. They did more for me than the sergeant. I hypnotized them more than his voice. And the sergeant had a big problem with me because I learned how to hypnotize him too. He got angry, and the angry got the calmer I got, and that's how I did it. It frustrated him. He couldn't get to me. And I could do what I wanted, but I didn't dare. The commandant called me. He says, you could be a good soldier. So I didn't want to be a good soldier. The war's nearly over. See? I wasn't rude. But I didn't see. I was slated to go to Burma. But what saved me from that death was the fact that I was a little bit bored, you know, doing the exercises and, you know, all the things you do to throwing hand grenades and God knows what. I was about to go to Burma, but I had a problem with walking. I had flat feet, so they wouldn't let me go. And there's another part of the story of that. But, you know, as many years has been gone by, there's a little piece of a story I need to tell you that may be interesting to you, those of you listening to me for the first time. My father died when he was 42. I always wanted to be a doctor or a scientist. I am both now in my own way. And I always find that to discover it for yourself is better than somebody teaching you. And yes, if somebody can talk to you about it but not teach, I have to decide whether that person is making sense or not. Now, that's very important, because that's what's missing. And so the meditation will bring you back to that, because when you get upset, you're actually hypnotized. You literally, and all your sickness comes from stress, correct? Well, as a hypnotist, my presence, if the way I deal with people, I can give you another story. I'm 18 years old. I'm in the military. I'm sitting in a pub, which is different from a bar. And so one of my mates, he says, how do you do all that? He says, can you hypnotize me? I said, you're already hypnotized. He says, I'm not hypnotized. I said, how heavy is that flask you're eating, that drinking? He says, not heavy at all. I can pick you. I said, you can't pick that up. He says, yes, I can pick it up. I said, no, you can't. Confident. He couldn't. How did you do that? He's living in a hypnotic state. The problem the sergeant had with me, he was a corporal acting as a sergeant. He couldn't take me away. He couldn't make me a hypnotic soldier. He could not make me hypnotic. I would do better on the battleground, because I'm in control of myself. I know what to do. There's lots of things that apply to the soldier. And it's not always the same in the same platoon. So anyway, I'm speaking. These breaks set me back a little bit, but I want you to understand that when I say you need to have an intuitive self, you had one when you were born, and when you come into the world, you've heard me say this. This is my program. When you come into the world, you come into a culture. And America was, you know, in those days when I came here, was much different than it is now. And we're much more freedom, much more nicer people. I know that there's lots of good ones out there, don't get me wrong. But it's become a demoralized country, just generally speaking. And so I learned that, well, just by being inquiring to the beginning of going back to the beginning of the Old Testament, you can see that because you hearkened unto the voice of his wife or woman, thus thou art and thus thou shalt return. And so that temptation, and to make it as short as I can, the temptation of Eve, the voice that spoke to Eve, and Eve spoke to him. He says, I didn't die. So maybe God is, you know, just testing to see if you're a man enough to stand up for yourself. He could have said anything, and he could see that nothing happened to her. Apparently, it already did, but he couldn't see it, metaphysical. So he ate of it, and therefore he has an anxiety. He listened to the voice outside. Not inside. So that's what happens to the order of life. And he says, because you've done this thing, dost thou art and dost thou shalt to return. And so shall a man leave his mother and father and and be bonded to the woman as one flesh. And that relationship is where we get, where we breed. How else would it be? But men tend to look to women for reassurance of who they are. And that's bas aequus, if you pardon the expression. And yesterday's program was all about men becoming men and women looking for a real man to say, put the fruit down that every woman needs, which is called love. And
Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So what do you think of what I've been saying? Would you give it a try? Would you go to my website, fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding? You notice I didn't give it a biblical name to my 501c3, which is equivalent to the Catholic Church, believe it or not, because I'm not your teacher. I can bear witness. You see what the word bear witness is? I'm real. I have to be real. If I'm going to bring you to reality, I have to bear witness it, to live it. And so it, and living that, it gives me an aura. It gives me a pitch in my speech and the things that I say, no matter how erratic it may be. I'm where all over the place I am. And sometimes I am. And sometimes I'm very direct and things, one idea follows another. But everything I'm saying is a voice. And it's not just it's a human voice modified by a divine voice, or wordless word. And my ideas are not coming from study. You don't want to study religion. You need to find the secret of being still and know. And then your religion comes through you. You know, your ability to see things intuitively. Intuition, not out-tuition. There is a good thing for to say about out-tuition, knowledge, but you have to be able to see if the knowledge is correct. You have to I would say to my daughter, don't learn everything. It's better to fail. You see what the teacher's saying. If it doesn't make sense, put your hand up and say it doesn't make sense. And if she argues with you, okay, let her have her way, but you don't have to believe it. You believe what you want to believe. What you see that's sensible, and that's okay. Or that person, even though they're just ordinary people, they're teachers, but they can actually speak truths which they don't understand themselves. Lots of preachers preach and don't understand themselves. Don't understand, it just sounds good saying it. They're in their own life, they don't practice it, or pretend to do so. And make you pretend to do so if you're not careful. What I'm trying to get you to do is to, I see that. I see that. In other words, your eyes view, experience objects in the light of the sun or your household electricity, right? That is one way of seeing. But there's another way of seeing called is intuitive. It's another way of knowing that what you're seeing and when you're hearing is sense. If you don't have that rapport with your inner self, you become easily misguided. And that is what politicians understand. See, to frighten you, intimidate you, or make you dependent, welfare kind of thing, on authority. And churches do the same thing, I'm sorry to say. Jesus himself was a church. And every person who had understood him and believed in him and practiced it, he had disciples, right? And so they have their bodies, their being was, know ye not, you're the temple of the living God and the Spirit dwells within you? Then you are not a teacher, but you bear witness to God in you. And therefore, because you're authority, your words have a different effect. They're not mesmeric. In hypnosis, your words are mesmeric, meaning to take advantage and make you subject to, suggestible to the more powerful person, the expert, the doctor, the psychiatrist, the bully. Now, do you understand now that once you start to see that the bully is a coward, the bully is always a coward, but you see, the bully is a coward before his bully. It's a chain of command. And so he could only confuse you and confound you and destroy you as he was destroyed or she was destroyed. And everybody is that. If you go out in the world today, that's what you have, deceitfulness, lies, you know, fake people, people that appear to love, but you're the sucker. They appear to love you. But it's really seduction. And in their presence, they make you feel better, but not better. And you like being around them, and you become addicted to their approval, and you become a slave. That's why you can't say no. It's one of the reasons why you can't say no. And the other reason why you get bullied into not saying yes, but having to say, you know, having to say yes and not no. A lot of you have problems. So maybe you are two forms of you, each one of you listening to me are two forms. You have both qualities. You can be good. You can be nice and then become angry and mean. And if you are one of those people, there's a name for that sickness, you have two strikes against that person who you're controlling. One minute you're nice and the next minute you're mean. You're just about to speak up to the nice person and the mean one comes out and you get upset. The minute you get upset, something gets inside you from that person and you lose yourself to that individual. And that's hypnotic state. You need to be freed from that. We're going to go into the program. If you want to call me, 800-866-8883, that's the number. I'll be happy to talk to you about what I just said. Be kind enough, please, to, if you like my program, this is just the opening of the program because I need people who are just joining me to have a little knowledge of where I'm coming from and what I'm doing. I'm trying to unhypnotize you. So that's exactly why. And awaken you to who you were as a little child. You could think for yourself, but the world that you came into messed you up. And so I'm bearing witness to that fact. Trust your understanding. Trust your intuition. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Support my program. The office number is 800-877-3227. My name is Roy Masters. Thank you for your support.